We have a cry room, but it's not for crying. It's for, we should put a sign on it. Pretty cute, distracting babies in here behind the glass, you know. And I don't know, did some of you catch, I mean, these guys are still just blessing me. Aaliyah walking up to the monitor just the way she was. Just ministered to me, you know. Standing there being drawn to that. It's such a picture of what the Spirit wants to do, to invite us and draw us. And then Shiloh has a gathering here. This kid has a smile that won't quit. You probably both could quit your day jobs and just, you know, market his smile. And yeah, you'd probably be set for the rest of your life. This kid communicates with smiles, you know, and so he's amazed. 16 of them, huh? They are precious. You all are precious. And I was thinking today, Kenny, as I was playing on the worship team, I'm finally getting settled. It's taken me 9 months to catch up with the team. And so, but I'm really, even with my whatever's going on, just really been enjoying, starting to really settle in finally. It's taken this long to settle and enjoy worship and enjoy. I'm enjoying raising up the team and strengthening and building the way they are. And Samuel has agreed to come in and learn the soundboard. And he's just been an amazing blessing to me. And working with him on his guitar a little bit too. So he's a gem. I mean, he's just really, really blossoming. And so he's able to come to practices, and that's what really helps. And we're working. And so I just have this really awesome group of people, you know, all of you, and we're getting back to life. And Phyllis mentioned the love and respect seminar, and I told Lacey last night. I said we're just getting the machinery oiled up, and getting to where I've got people in place, and this is all just small at this point, but we've got stuff in place, and as all of you just do your parts wherever they are and get good at it, even when it's small and sometimes unnoticed, just keep doing it. The prayer furnace, people doing the prayer, continued through that. And some of that's been a dry and barren land. And I'm just expecting the prayer to just kind of, after the season of you all sowing and for so long, I'm looking for that to just be enhanced. Our outreach and ministering and taking the church outside is just growing. I'm so blessed and pleased. And we had Dan Petrini in to just impart more things to us. And we've got the elements, folks, of the real thing here. And I know what we have. And this isn't about pride. This is about, oh, Jesus, you know, he had to mine us out. And I had a word years ago when I was probably at the height of feeling insecure and horrible in the ministry. And I think it was Jim Stevens that prophesied that the Lord was going to come and dig the gold out of me. And when you dig for gold, Steve Backlund lived in a gold mine. Let's just ignore the distractions. Well, pause is the Selah. Pause in his presence. How about that? He lived in a gold mining community. And here's the revelation of that. What you picture, if you don't see the real thing, what you picture a gold mining community might look like, a modern day one, what it actually is, it's like probably two different things, I'm thinking. They have to move hundreds of tons of rock to get a little bit of gold. Hundreds of tons of it. Big machinery, big stuff. They've got to move tons and tons and tons of stuff, of rock. But that gold, that little bit of gold that they get, is so worth it. They're willing to do that. And spiritually, sometimes we think, oh my gosh, I'm moving all these rocks. Rocks, rock, 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 rock. Mud, 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 mud. Dirt, 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 dirt. Junk, 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 you know? How much junk do I have to dig through in my life to get to the gold? Jesus, how much junk do I have to dig through to get to the gold? But he knows something that you don't, he sees something you don't see. He sees the gold in you. He sees the gold in you. And I just was reminded of another moment, and I keep going back to a moment I had where the Lord broke in. I got a phone call one morning several years back, and someone began to sing a song, not one of our singers. Someone began to sing a song to me, a song of the Lord. They were embarrassed about doing it. But here's what the Lord gave me. I have to sing you this song. And they sang this song. And in it was the promise that the Lord would, I will never leave you. I will never grow weary of staying with you and abiding with you and helping you. And so when I think, oh, that's it. I've screwed up, you know, too much, too long, too many, whatever, blah, blah, blah. You know where we go. And I remember this word that came. And the word of truth, the promise in the midst of the condemnation and the whatever I'm going through at the time, is that the Lord just is steadfast. He's like, it ain't over till I'm, you know, till I say it's over. I'm not done helping you till I say I'm done helping you. I'm not done forgiving you till I say I'm done forgiving you. I'm not going to give up on you till I say it's too late, too much, too far. And so the Lord's, his truth, his words, they abide with us, stick with us, and just hang in there. You can begin to turn with me to Psalms 91. We've had, Tim Hacker came, spoke about fear to us. He wrote this awesome book, excellent resource about fear and about phobias. Then when Dan Petrini came, one of the nights that he spoke Saturday night, he felt to speak on fear again. And I'm sitting listening in the midst of my coughing and running out in the room and doing whatever I have to do to survive. Felt terrible all weekend, like, oh God, what was I thinking when I scheduled, said yes to him being able to come, because I felt so lousy all weekend, but it doesn't matter what day or what, it's like I just have been. And comes with another message about fear. I'm sitting there listening. I'm thinking, Lord's like knocking on the door, like this is a hot area for us. Pay attention to this. You know, it's the same. You know, don't fear. And fear doesn't have substance. The only substance fear has is what we give it. The only substance it has is us getting close to it, nurturing, you know, up against it, embracing it. That's the only power it has. Other than that, it's just a separated, it's a noise, it's a distraction, it's just junk unless you cuddle up, put your arm around it, agree with it. And as Tim Hacker points out in his revelation, the word of the Lord is, stop it. Don't fear. The angel comes, I know I'm scaring the bejeebers out of you, but don't fear. Just don't. It's okay. Just choose not to. Stand still. Don't run out of the room. I got a message for you. You don't want to miss it. So fear is something we just have to go, no, I'm not doing this. I'm not accepting it. I'm not letting it control what I do. Because fear's most prominent thing is get you to move out of something, to get you to move when you're not supposed to move. To get you to hide when you're not supposed to hide, to get you to, you know, withdraw when you're supposed to step forward. Sometimes the only thing that hinders you from stepping into the good, the promise, the provision, is that invisible fear. So the Lord's speaking to us about this, and I was drawn to Psalms 91, and let me give you this. I have a little bit of a story in this search for what the heck is wrong with me. This is the fourth month now that I've had this cough, And some of you that have, like, Rosie's gone through this, different ones, you have something that is just on you, a disease, a sickness, a thing that just doesn't go, and you pray and you believe and you're getting treatments and you're doing this and doing all that you know to do, and it stays and gets really weary. It's pretty soon your soul is tired of the fight, like, gah. And I've been on like 5 prescriptions of antibiotic. Each one costs more. I'm assuming they were supposed to be better, you know, at each increment of that. And at one point, I lost, you know, lost count. I was up to $700, pushing $800 in treating a cold, like OMG, like chest X-rays and whatever, just paying for stuff. And I know a lot of you have things that you have to pay for and out-of-the-pocket expenses. But no matter what I do, it just stays. Starts to get better, stays. So some things happened. I went to talk to a friend about a different path to follow to get some help. And it led me to this question. Sometimes we go to chiropractors. Phyllis does a lot. And whether you believe in chiropractors or not, whatever, it's not relevant. I'm not trying to prove anything. However, not only do they manipulate your joints and nerves and, you know, all those kind of things, but they also often are homeopathic, and they test and check your body system for different things that are wrong. And they have some real strange ways of doing that. And it sounds like voodoo until you experience the reality of these tests. And I'll simplify this to explain what and how this works, if I can, just for illustration's sake. But for example, if there's a weakness in your body or something that your body doesn't do well with, is allergic to or responds well, if they put some of that in this palm, just set some of that substance in your hand, then they test your strength. And if you are, I'm struggling with air right now. If that's, you're sensitive to that, allergic to that, then you won't have strength. Like they can put sugar in your hand. I mean, raw sugar, white sugar that we eat is some of them, probably the most toxic thing on the planet. But anyways, they can put some of that in your hand. Immediately, you don't have strength. And you go, what? How's that work? So if you have a natural weakness or something's going on and they put something that will help you, an herb or an oil or whatever they're, you know, they have, you immediately feel your strength is back, like, and take it away. And without that element, that thing, then you're weak. Your muscles are weak. And then they put it back. So it's different and strange. But if you've experienced, you go, oh my, there's something to this, especially when it lines up with what you're suffering from. So I hadn't thought about pursuing that until earlier this week, and I went, yeah. So I called my chiropractor that I typically go to just occasionally and said, hey, can you test me? I've had this chronic respiratory problem for this is the 4th month now, and like, it's a problem. Can you guys think you can see what you test for that? Like, what do you think's going on? Jesus, help me. Long story short, it ends up being, I tested positive for having fungus and mold. And I went, it's not viral, it's not bacterial, but it's that. And I went, I know exactly when it happened. We were in a situation in a house that was all shut up, and there was truly, definitely mold bad in this house. I remember when Phyllis and I were both in it, and you it's not that it smelled bad as much as you couldn't breathe. Like, all of a sudden, you knew something's wrong, like you can't get breath. And I responded to it a few times when we were there, and then we were in the house a lot early in December. Exactly. I had a cold, and then is in this situation, and she says, this is mold and fungus. And I went, that makes sense, because I take the antibiotics, they don't touch it. Nothing affects anything, this thing. It just stays. And try to give me inhalers. I've, you know, get all these things from the doctor. I'm like, not doing anything. I'm not feeling it, man, you know? I'm puffing and snorting and this and that. And I was like, it's a waste of time. It's nothing. And so that got diagnosed. And so now, you know, the cure, maybe it's, I don't know what it'll take. I have all the stuff, you know, more things, another direction. But I do believe I'm on the right track with that. And I'm still not opposed to getting healed. Now would be a good moment. That would be fine. I know black mold is stubborn. I when I do a little bit of remodeling work, and sometimes a floor will go bad in a bathroom, around the toilet, around the bathtub, and you get into the subfloor and there's black mold in there, and you've got your hands full dealing with it. The best thing is to get the saw out, just cut it out and throw it away. And it's nasty stuff. And you can treat it and kind of momentarily kill it. It seems to just come back. So I don't know how that works when that's in your lungs. It's kind of scary. I'll go, I can't drink bleach. I mean, I can't, you know, that, I know that kills it on the side of my house. I don't really want to go that direction. So I'm doing all these things, 15 drops of that, a cap full of this, 4 pills of this, cut up ginger root, boil it, make tea out of it, drink it, you know. About, so yeah, it's like, I'm sick enough. I'll follow your instructions. I'll give this a try. If you could be tested today for fear, how would you test?
Wow, Cyril said positive.
Or unforgiveness. And Phyllis, you know, touched on this unbelief thing. And I have no other thing to say. I hope all of you don't run out the building over this, but the only reason that I can't get healing is that it is unbelief. I don't have the faith it takes to assimilate the healing and provision that I know is in Christ. I know this stuff. I believe this. I know. I see the testimonies. I know this stuff can happen, but I don't have what it takes to assimilate. I've had all kinds of people praying all kinds of things, great prayers. There's no more that they could pray, but I know that there's this level of, like, I test positive for unbelief. You know, I've got weakness. So when you got it, then what you do is you look for the cure and put some of that in your palm and see if you get your strength back. So let's put some forgiveness in your palm and see if you get your strength back. Let's put something, let's put the answer here. What we need to counter what is in us. Now let's turn to the vial of Psalms 91. Let's take 15 drops and see if it helps. I had taken this week, wasn't sure what I'd share today, but and yesterday I told, we were doing the seminar, a video seminar. I told Lacey, I said, man, I do not know what I'm going to do tomorrow morning. I lost my voice again. Whatever this is, attacks my voice. I'm all about saying it's demons, spirit of infirmity, whatever. It is just nastiness, and it has no good thing other than it's got me praying and searching and looking, you know. I'd be the only positive thing in it. and I'm gonna get some answers after this or through this. So somehow I am able to share. I mean, I literally didn't have a voice by yesterday afternoon, yesterday evening. All I could do is squeak. So it's so strange. I'm going to teach this again out of the Passion Translation. It really speaks my language. And I went through and did the whole chapter, just taking time, meditating. And so instead of reading through the chapter, because you got your Bibles, first thing I want to do is hit the answers. It's probably not good, but I'm going to give you the answers first. Here are three qualifiers in this chapter that are, here's how this works. Three things that to place in your hand to immediately improve your strength, to counter the unbelief, the fear, and this chapter is about feeling safe and secure. It is our promise. What would be even a better word? Maybe you can come up with a better word for what is Psalms 91? You know, what does it give us? You know, it's that bottle, it's that vial of something that you take. You once you possess it, you're not afraid anymore. I'm not sure. There's probably a better word. But that's what Psalms 91 is. If you possess this, then you're safe, you're secure, you're healed, you're protected from things. So let's look at this. And as we look, I hope that you can just take a fresh look and go, I don't want to just assume I know the chapter. You've all heard verses out of this chapter. It's an amazing chapter, amazing psalm. But that you'll just let this get into you. Let this even convict you. Conviction's good. Condemnation is worthless. Junk. But conviction is good. Conviction arrests you and says, hey, there's a problem and you need to make a change. That's what conviction is. And so you, out of conviction, you go, yes, I want to change. I want to get off this path and get on this path. I want to get out of this realm and get in this realm. So let yourself be convicted today. Let it come. Put down the walls. It's okay. You know, sometimes you go to the doctor and you need to take off your shirt, you know, and pull down your pants right back here. You need a shot. Bang, you know. You know, I don't want to. He's like, you need to. You need what I got to give you. So, you know, expose your heart. Choose to be vulnerable. We're in a safe place. Presence of the Lord. Three things. Number one, you see in verse one, whoever lives within the secret shadow of shadow of Shaddai. Phyllis Reed, this is the American Standard.
Yeah. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High.
Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High.
In the shadows.
Whoever what?
Yeah,
the secret place. The secret place, the shadow of the Most High. But the picture here is what? That you are abiding, dwelling. You're not looking at from the parking lot. You're in the church. We're in the, we call this fancy word. We don't normally use this kind of terminology, but sanctuary. You know, we're in the room that's been dedicated for meetings where we worship and where we pray and where we hear the word. So it's the inner place. You can go into the furnace rooms, but this is the inner. This is where it happens. You know, this is the place. Come into this. I want you to just come into the entrance, but come into the whoever abides and dwells in that secret place, in that inner place, in the shadow of Shaddai. So you got to be close. If you're going to be in somebody's shadow, you got to be close to them. That's the point. Simple and plain. It'll read that way in Hebrew, Greek, or any other language you want to look at. Concept is shadow is something that is close. You have to be in close proximity. So there's this abiding close. If you're in my shadow, you're close. Verse number 9. When we live our lives within the shadow of the Most High, of the God Most High, our secret hiding place, we will always be shielded from harm. So we, again, as the second one is very similar to the first. Like, again, abiding close, abiding within, under the covering. Now, let yourself be convicted a little bit. Do you abide there? Abiding, what does abiding mean? Let's compare these two words. Visit, abiding. My brother visits my home. My wife abides in my home. So when it comes to this place with the Lord, the instructions here, the qualifier here is abiding. Now, I can't spell that out for you because nobody can. I can't define that for you in your personal life. But I can tell you this. If you want to tap into the promises and the provision of this chapter, and all of you can, every one of you, no one is disqualified. Everybody can live in this place, but you must abide in close proximity with the Lord, however that looks for you. I think we should leave that open to some extent. What does that look for Senior? What's that look for Brad? What's that look like for Pam? What's that look like for Emily? What does it look like for you? If you sit and you wait before the Lord and you're asking him, what does my life look like in a practical way when I abide in you? What does that look like for me? What does that take? So instead of defining it, I'll just leave you with that. You need to answer that for yourself. But it's worth getting the answer, and it's worth pursuing with all of your heart. Because, man, the benefits, the bonuses, the provision is just rolling. Rolling down the river. I mean, it's good stuff. It's everything you want. Everything you want is in this. And the third qualifier, verse 14, in a Passion Translation, and watch your capital H's and small H's on the word he. That helps you know. Capital letters on pronouns are, you know, he. And small he's are us. English lesson. I was never good at that stuff, but yeah, I think I'm right about that. Because you have chosen to be my great lover. How does, what's the American Standard say?
Because he has loved me.
Because he has loved me, because he, capital H, no, it's small h. Because he is referring to us, because he has loved me. The Lord's speaking here. Because he has loved me, that's the qualifier. Cool. Then it rolls, man. Because he has loved me, I, God, have chosen to greatly protect you. I, God, will set you in a high place. I, God, make you safe and secure before my face. So let's back up. Beginning of the chapter. Whoever dwells in a secret place, they find... Again, I'm going to use a lot from this translation. Hidden in the definition in the verse 1 continues on. Hidden in strength, in the strength of God Most High, will always be kept safe and secure. There's that. What's that definite? What word would you use? But what does safe and secure translate to you? You know, you're settled. You're cool. You're good. You live in a solid house and there's a rainstorm coming and you go in. It's blowing and the clouds are dark and you go, whoa, you know, there's a storm coming and the wind's picking up and you go in. Why? Because it's safe and secure. You have a real peace in your heart. If your house is, you know, good. You have a peace in your heart that in once you get in and close the door, you'll stay safe. You won't get struck by lightning. You won't get blown away. You won't get wet. You won't get, you know, you're within. And that is the picture of what should be when we, this concept of abiding in his, when we abide in the shadow, when we get close, when we live our life in that close proximity, and we get that established and get all the shadows of darkness, everything between us that hinders, when we get that out, we know we're in. What's it take for you to be in? In Jesus' name, there is nothing that permanently should keep you separated. Nothing has the power. Nothing needs to stand in the way. Everything can go in Jesus' name so that you're in. And when you're in, then you're safe. Then you're secure. You're kept safe. You feel secure. The next verse, here's how I describe him. Here's the language. I love language of the psalmist in this Passion Translation. Here's how I describe him. So this person that abides safe and secure, this, this is their language. You say, he is the hope. He is my hope that holds me. He's my hope. My hope isn't in my 401k. My hope isn't in my job. My hope isn't in other things that I tend to hope in. And that we tend to hope in. See, and this is another reason that our faith gets attacked so badly, because it's wonderful to have insurances and protections and hospitals and hospitalization and all the things that surround us. Those are all great things until they replace your hope in the Lord. Now all you got is that, and you don't have enough faith to pray a frog off of a lily pad. Why is that? Because we if you start to abide in those things, and sometimes the only reason the Lord is obstructing your prosperity and provision is that he loves you and he won't allow you to graduate into anything that will begin to hinder and separate you from him. What if you're the only hindrance to being very prosperous and very blessed? Because actually, he wants to bless you and prosper. So if he prospers you today, will you stay as close as you are right now? The prosperity is not the problem. It's whether you'll stay close or whether that, if that separates you from trusting in him and loving him. That puts a whole different spin on it, doesn't it? Here's how I describe him. He's the hope that holds me, the stronghold to shelter me. He's the only God for me. He is my great confidence. Man, why are you so confident? He, capital H, he makes me confident. Because he had somebody call me on the phone one morning and sing a song. Yeah. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. That's why I'm confident. And I wasn't doing that well when I got the call, so I know it's not based on my performance. I had nothing to boast about in that season of my life. A lot of reasons why, you know, to go, oh, man, you know, I'm not doing well. That was my experience. And Jesus calls me in the middle of that. It's like, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm with you. I'm right here in the midst of the pit, the dungeon, the disappointments, the whatever. We're good. I'm so good with you. And you let that get into your heart and you go, oh, all right. Maybe I'll stop looking at stuff so much and how people feel about me so much and where my checking account is and where my, you know, how long I think my job's going to last, and I'll say, start paying attention to you, because the job can come and can go, but you're going to stay. You're God. You don't change. The company, the bank can get bought out, but you're not going to get bought out. That's a good word right there. God can't get bought out. And don't do any acquisitions on heaven, you know? You don't show up for church one day, hey, your stuff's in a box. Get escorted back out to your car. It doesn't happen in the kingdom. Getting down into the next verse is 3. Yes, he will rescue you from every hidden trap of the enemy, and he will protect. He will protect you from false accusation and any deadly curse. He'll prevent. Now, how would you like to get an immunity card from accusations? Most of you are your worst own enemy, so, you know, the worst accusations that get spoken about you are from your own silly mouth and out of your own heart, so guard that thing, you know? Jenna, where she's at, she's always like, shut it. You know? Guard your heart. If you can't speak good to yourself, just shut up. Just be quiet. False accusation and any deadly curse. Why? Because you're an abider. I stay in the shadow. What was that? These kids that we met, this was the awesome. I didn't get to talk about this. All you did last. We went out with Dan Vetrini and we're up in Carnation Mall. Not really a hot spot, but we just needed some place that wasn't freezing cold out and whatever to go and do what we were doing and practice. And Pam and the other Pam from Chicago meet these boys and just to speak to them. And it's awesome. Anything we pray for you about? Now, you know, they're not likely candidates for prayer or for anything, you know. And actually, you want to fix them up and give them a haircut and do a couple things before you give them anything good, you know. Come here. You definitely need to straighten up a little bit. Then we'll help you. But instead, believing it's the kindness of God that leads people to repentance, that's a new paradigm. Yep. Pretty much all he uses on me, thank goodness, because I probably wouldn't be here if he was using the other mode. But anyways, I didn't stand a good chance of survival under the old paradigm, you know. So I'm really glad for the kindness paradigm. And they say, anything you pray, and they say, you know, we're looking for a synthesizer player. And again, you're like, well, there's no way you can have a good band. Right. So why would I pray for you to increase what is probably not cool anyways? They got stuff on their shirts that kind of indicated whether, you know, yeah, they know what they're wearing. And all of our reasoning would be like, no, you don't want to bless this. You need to take this in and throw it in a washing machine and fix it first, you know? It's like, yeah, God loves to give you the desires of your heart. And you want to go, you know, we're like our old, like, no, not them. Yeah. But when you understand God so loved the world, I missed that. Yeah. I thought he hated the world and so he sent Jesus. That was my, you know, that was my Rick's version. God so disgusted with the world. He's like, oh. Can't swear because he's himself, you know. Gonna have to send Jesus. I hate doing this. But instead, out of his love for the world, he sends the answer. When I'm sending an answer, I'm feeling good about it. It wasn't an easy thing. I don't have a whole good grip on that. But he did it, did something I can't comprehend doing myself, sends a son to save. And so this word to these boys, sure, we'll pray. Jesus loves you. And they pray And they walk away. And a few moments later, they turn around and talk to a kid that's going to try out for their band. And then they remember the prayer. They're like, hey, that's that lady just prayed for us. Now you got their attention. They found us again, standing in a group and like, hey, where this happened? And you guys prayed for us. Now the words really, now the prophetic words, they've come and asked. Now we're all kind of firing things, speaking to them. And, you know, then it was open season on, you know. I still can remember this one kid with his hair. He already had a song. He saw Dan Petrini. So he's like, poke it up, man, with the camouflage pants. And he says, I even got a song seeing him. I don't even know if he knew Dan was with us at the time. You take Dan to a mall and he kind of sticks out. Sticks out anywhere. You know, looks like I got shot in the face with some kind of, you know, a grenade went off from, you know, a grenade that's filled with stuff from Claire's. That little store in the mall that sells trinkets and jewelry, you know, make a generic, you know, that'd make a nasty hand grenade. Fill it with that and then throw it, you know. And he bleaches his spots in his hair. Yeah, he's got this unique look going. But this guy's got a heart of gold, like, really, just ministers. He's so good. I make a song and I realize they not forget this. We get to speak more words into their life. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. He will rescue you from every hidden trap of the enemy, protection from false accusation, from deadly curse. And then I love this. His faithfulness is a wraparound shield. Brian Simmons is so good about putting words together. His faithfulness is a wraparound shield. And how you do that is you meditate on how faithful God is. He's the one. Have you ever looked at somebody and the relationship's going real good? And then you have this moment where you question, you go, are you going to rake me over the coals? Are you going to break my heart? Are you going to betray me? Are you going to let me down? Ever have those moments where you really question if somebody's going to stay in this place that and it's really good, and then all of a sudden you go, ooh, I've gotten really burned before. Can I trust you? Now, as people, we can give our intentions. Making promises, that's, I don't know, you know. It's kind of like, by the will of God, I won't screw up your life. But, you know, I'm not Jesus. I may fail you. I won't mean to do it, but I may. There's one place, one person that we can throw all of that stuff. We want to throw on people. There's only one that we can throw the whole thing on. Can I trust you? You can fully trust the Lord. His faithfulness can wrap you, surround you. And this place of learning to abide in his shadow, in near proximity of him, you can experience his wraparound love, his wraparound shield that protects you. That's what is yours. Look at this psalm. Look at the qualifiers in it. Take some time. I encourage you, meditate. Meditate on what's here. We may need to transition out of our faith and trust being in things and people. And I'll just say, we're not there. We're not. But we got the stuff. We got the juice to get there. I can say that. We're a people that want to get there. We're a people that are at a place we're willing to see I may not be there, but I want to get there. I know it's not religious. I know it's not performance-oriented. It's positional. It's relational. And there's nothing that can separate you from his love and from this place of awesome peace and awesome protection. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I release just the revelation of your wraparound love, your wraparound, arms. You are faithful. You've not let us down. We've been confused at times and we get disappointed and we think we have our expectations, but when it comes down to it, you're not the one that let us down. If it takes a lifetime for a prophetic word to come to pass, that's your business. We just need to stand and sit and wait. You're good all the time. You're good to us. So ask that you show us how to abide in your shadow, how to draw near. In Jesus' name, again, I keep going back to this subject, but that they're the shadows of darkness that you'll rout out, strongholds of unbelief and hindrances, whatever those might be, whatever's hindering us from dwelling in the shadow and being close. Lord Jesus, just rout that out. Rout that out. Whatever's hindering unbelief, our minds, our reasoning, we all we know to do is repent from it, Jesus. I want to be in a position where whatever your spirit speaks, I have a yes in my heart about it. Then when I hear stories of miracles that I'm in agreement and I have a faith and heart for you to do what you want to do and for you to be who you are. Jesus, today I ask that you'll open our eyes so that we can see you in everything. Jesus, I believe you're always talking. There's a continual voice from your heart to me and to every person. So I want to tune in to the frequency where I hear what your words are, what you're saying, what your promises are. I tune in to hear you say, peace be still. I tune in to hear you say, I have a hope and I have a destiny. I tune in to hear that there's gold in the most unlovable person, that there's gold in the most unlikely candidate, that there's a future and a destiny. That for you, the limitations we have don't exist. Boundless. The words, the songs that we're singing this morning. I just felt these words from Oceans when Summer sang. We sing these songs and it's so easy to just be focused on singing the song right and doing it. And I'm listening as Summer's singing and I hear all the invitation in this song. You call me out on the waters. And right out of the gate, I started to pay attention to what we have practiced and sung so many times before. And I just saw Jesus. He calls you out and calls you into a place of believing what you're like, oh, no. I'm good in the boat. Not a great place. It's not the most comfortable place, but I'm good. At least I got my feet on something that's wood and, something that's solid. What is Jesus calling you to step into? I think that's the Spirit. There's something that I just believe that there's, that Jesus, the Spirit, is actually inviting all of you And you need to define that. He's calling all of you out of your boat, all of you to believe and really, and the transition needs to take place right in your heart. You don't need to sell your house or do anything radical, I don't think. Throw a little fear factor in there. No, it's this is about what's the Spirit doing and saying in you. Just allow yourself to see Jesus standing and inviting you. What's he inviting you into? What's the life of faith that he's inviting you into? Out of that, whatever that is, and into this, what would be the greater place? Just go ahead, let yourself go a little bit to dream and to just let him, what would he invite you into? What's the lifestyle? What's the choice? What's the thing where you would step out of the boat and step into and say, I'm going to just start believing the Lord for this. Definitely invitation here today. There's definitely the Spirit inviting us today. I know that I know that. He's inviting. And maybe somebody will come up to me after, like, yes, I know the Spirit's inviting me into the next step, the next level. For you, your family, your kids, your ministry, your walk, your job, your, I don't know. The great unknown. Yeah, here, let's define it. The great unknown where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. So I will call upon your name, keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, your wraparound love. For I am yours. This is where your confidence. This is what you stand in, because I'm yours and you are mine. That is your. Throw it down on the table, man. Here's my certificate. Here's my qualifier. I abide in the shadow, and I love Jesus. I love you. He is mine. I am yours. He's mine. So let's just seal this. Jesus, whatever's going on today, I just ask that you bless and seal and not leave it. I know that if you're at work, then you don't leave things undone. So let us just say yes to those things today. Yes, to hear what you would call us into. And yes, to whatever we do perceive you're calling us into. I know I have things. I have things that there's the practical way to deal with a problem and the normal way and the rational way. But then over here, on the other hand, is this way of approaching it where I know it's the faith way. It's the thing that Jesus would call me into. And I'm kind of in that place of decision. Maybe it's always there, you know. It's on this hand, da-da-da. But on the other hand, I will wait on the Lord. I will call on the Lord. I will see what he will say. I will listen to hear, you know. I will listen to see. What's that scripture in the Old Testament, Habakkuk? I will listen to see. And listening, you see. It's quite a paradox, but it's, you know, it's a mystery. But in the Spirit, when you listen, you see. Envision. Let us listen so Jesus can give us a picture. Jesus can give us picture. Amen. So I just seal that. Seal the day. We had a great service today. So good to be together. It was so good to connect, joint to joint and be the body. So make sure you love on each other today and bless the Lord.